Talking about science, the Ig Nobel Awards.
Yes.
Going on. These are awards for strange science and odd uses. Though some of these are more successful than I remember other ones. Like the shoe rack where they got it for engineering design that they added UV lights. It's not the dumbest idea. It's not as dumb as, hey, eat some Teflon so your food's more filling.
Yeah, just with the shoe one, they seemed really confused about what the actual issue was.
I agree, yeah. Because the science was done to improve shoe rack experiences for people with smelly shoes.
Shoe rack happiness.
This text, it seems like this quote should be used for these awards. You spent so much time thinking if you could do it that you never thought, should I do it? Mm. That's a very good point. That does happen. All right. How about the Ig Nobel Award for Aviation? Francisco Sanchez, that's fun to say, Mariana Melcon, Carmi Corrin, and Barry Pinchot received the award for studying whether ingesting alcohol can impair bats' ability to fly and use their ability to echolocate. So do bats get affected by alcohol? That's it? Given a beer to your dog and watch it be silly?
Yeah, have you ever seen any of the studies in which raccoons eat fermented berries?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you think?
Studies.
You think alcohol's not going to make a wonky bat?
Well, maybe we'll find out that it didn't affect them. And if that's the case, then I guess, all right, you're right.
Yeah, maybe they've got something that doesn't digest alcohol into their bloodstream the same way.
And
as
maybe,
us?
So this, I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt until we see this because it sounds dumb, but I'm dumb. So how can I judge? Nature is rife with naturally occurring ethanol.
Currying?
Yeah. See, this is the reason I can't call them too dumb before I know.
That's when something happens with curry and it's extra spicy.
Yeah. Particularly from ripening fruit, and that fruit in turn is consumed by various organisms and animal species. There are occasionally rare instances of some mammals, birds, and even insects consuming fruit rich in ethanol and becoming intoxicated, making those creatures more vulnerable to potential predators and more accident-prone due to lessened motor coordination. Like, you ever seen a praying mantis after it ate a drunk spider? Like, they're wobbling all over. They can't even get the prayer. Can't even get the prayer together. They get themselves stuck in a headlock. It's terrible. Sanchez et al. Decided to look specifically at the effects of ethanol on Egyptian fruit bats, known drinkers, which have been shown to avoid high ethanol fruit. The authors wondered if this might be because the bats wanted to avoid becoming inebriated. They conducted their experiments on adult male fruit bats kept in an outdoor cage that served as a long flight corridor. The bats were given liquid food with varying amounts of ethanol, then released in the corridor where the authors timed how long it took each bat to fly from one end to the other.
This seems very, very scientific.
It does. A second experiment followed the same basic protocol, but this time the authors recorded the bats' echolocation calls with an ultrasonic microphone. The results, the bats that received liquid food with the highest ethanol content took longer to fly the length of the corridor, evidence of impaired flight ability. The quality of those bats' echolocation was also adversely affected, putting them at a higher risk of colliding with obstacles mid-flight. So what they found out was bats can get drunk.
All right, bat, and I'll say your ABCs backwards.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, bat, I don't think you should echolocate your ex right now. I think you need to sleep it off.
Well, and honestly, how could you tell anyway? Have you ever seen a bat fly? They look like they're wasted anyhow.
They do.
So who cares? Oh, no, they can't get as many bugs today because we force-fed them liquor.
And what are we going to do? Try to get rid of fermented fruits for bats?
Right.
The sad thing is they acknowledge the bats already avoided those things. You're like, let's force feed some alcohol in these bats.
Yeah.
These teetotalers got to suffer. Kind of feels like it.
Yeah.
All right. How about psychology?
Oh, I'm sure there's some good ones for this.
Marcin Zajankowski and Gilles Guinot were investigating what happens when you tell narcissists or anyone else that they are intelligent. Not all narcissists are created equal. There are vulnerable narcissists who tend to be socially withdrawn, have low self-esteem, and are prone to negative emotions. And then there are the grandiose narcissists who exhibit social boldness, high self-esteem, and are more likely to overestimate their own intelligence.
Okay.
Right?
Which is, in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mine too, Hot Wings.
Mm-hmm.
The authors wanted to explore whether this effect might also work in reverse, that believing one has superior intelligence due to positive external feedback can lead to at least a temporary state of narcissism. Okay, this is good, I guess. Okay. They recruited 361 participants from Poland who were asked to rate their level of intelligence compared to other people, complete with the Polish version of the Narcissistic Personality Inventory, and take an IQ test to compare their perceptions of their own intelligence with an objective measurement.
Okay, whether or not they think a screen door on a submarine is a good idea. That's the measurement.
Right.
The participants were then randomly assigned to one of two groups. One group received positive feedback, telling them that they did have a higher IQ than most, while others were told, "We're sorry, you are what science calls dumb." Mm-hmm. The results confirmed most of the researchers' hypotheses. In general, participants gave lower estimates of their relative intelligence after completing the IQ test, which provided an objective of sorts, but the type of feedback they received had a measurable impact. Positive feedback enhanced their feelings of uniqueness, a key aspect of grandiose narcissism. Those who received negative feedback rated their own intelligence as being lower, and that negative feedback had a larger effect than positive effect. The authors concluded that external feedback helped shape the subject's perception of their own intelligence, regardless of the accuracy of the feedback. So this seems kind of unfair. So you're saying if scientists conduct a test that the subjects believe would determine whether they are, in fact, above average intelligence, if they are then told you're above average, they then believe that and act with that belief.
Yeah.
That's not surprising at all.
No.
Yeah. That's them believing you.
Because you told them.
Right.
Right.
I mean, pretty obvious.
There was no deception involved.
Yeah. It's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
Like, did they tell him later? Boy, that'd be a real bummer. You're walking around like, I was helping out for this science, and it turns out I'm like a genius. And then you get a letter saying, hey, you're actually pretty dumb.
Yeah, you're not.
The Ig Nobel Award for Nutrition. This one starts with, move over, pizza rat. Here come the pizza lizards.
Oh.
Rainbow lizards, to be precise. This is a common species to urban and suburban West Africa. The lizards primarily live off insects and arthropods, but the proximity to humans has led to some developing a more omnivorous approach to their foraging. Bread has become a big favorite for these rats.
Everybody loves bread.
Mm-hmm. Case in point, one fine sunny day at a Togo seaside resort, the authors noticed a rainbow lizard stealing a slice of four cheese pizza from a tourist and chowing it down.
Wow. Can't blame them.
Whole piece, okay.
They thought, well, we need to know if this is an isolated incident, or do all rats, or lizards rather, like pizza?
They're not just rainbow lizards.
And did the lizards have a preferred topping?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
So they monitored the behavior of nine particular lizards, giving them the choice between a plate of four cheese pizza, a plate of four seasons pizza, and spaced about 10 meters apart. It only took 15 minutes for the lizards to find the pizza and eat it, sometimes fighting over the remaining slices, but they only ate the four cheese. For the authors, this suggests there might be some form of chemical cues that attracts them to cheesy pizzas, or perhaps it's easier to digest.
Hmm. Lizards are all of us.
The lizard hated Canadian bacon and pineapple pizza.
Okay, yeah. Well, pineapple is pretty pungent, so if they're not an animal that likes pungent things, I'm not terribly surprised that who wouldn't choose cheese over pineapple, like, if given the choice of the two.
Yeah, I'm going cheese every time.
Yeah,
pineapple's fine.
Pineapple is fine, you know,
but it's never going to be my first choice.
Oh,
okay, we had time for one more. Do you want peace, literature, or pediatrics?
Oh man,
pediatrics.
Oh, yeah, I want to know what they're doing to kids.
A long time question for science has been, what's that baby taste when they're nursing if mom eats garlic?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, okay. What's a baby taste? I mean, you know, what's a baby taste bud to do?
I know, Maitland and Kelly, you've said you're not going to have kids, but still, with all of your rearing and the push by society, there had to be a time where you thought, I got to keep these nips clean of garlic in case a baby's on them.
Yeah
for sure.
Right?
That most definitely.
Yeah, you're not there to lactate an Olive Garden.
Maybe that's why I'm a savory girl. Is because my body just inherently is like, you'll never feed a child. You want all the garlic.
Have more pickled things.
Finally, you're part of the savory girl movement.
Yes.
Gary Beauchamp and Julie Manella designed their experiment to investigate two questions, whether the consumption of garlic altered the odor of the mother's breast milk, and if so, did it affect the behavior of the nursing infants? Garlic was chosen because it's known to produce flavors in dairy cow milk and affect human body odor. They recruited 8 women who were exclusively breastfeeding their infants, taking samples of their breast milk over a period when the participants abstained from eating sulfurous foods like garlic, onion, and asparagus, and more samples after the mothers consumed either a garlic capsule or a placebo. What do you think happened?
It probably did affect the flavor.
Yep, yeah. Of course it did. Yeah. Mothers who ingested the garlic capsules produced milk with a perceptibly more intense odor, as evaluated by several adult panelists brought in to sniff the milk of boob. The strong odor peaked at 2 hours after ingestion and decreased fats, which is consistent with prior research on cows.
Milk-filled breasts.
As for the infants, those whose mothers ingested garlic attached to the breast for longer periods and sucked more when the milk smelled like garlic. This could be relevant to ongoing efforts to determine whether sensory experiences during breastfeed can influence how readily an infant accepts new foods.
You've got a garlic baby.
That's why old men still prefer garlic. Closest we get.
Thank you, Larry King.
Nobody's letting us near the nipples. Garlic. Garlic.
Old men prefer
garlic. I don't get it, but I feel like it's funny.
It's okay.
It used to be like late night radio commercial. Hi, I'm Larry King for garlic. Yeah. And it was like a knockoff garlic that they were supposed to take to make them viral. I don't even know what it was for. But him saying garlic.
Amount of hot health, we think. We don't know, but yeah. Garlic.
I mean, that guy lived long enough to have his young wife push his poop back in his butt while they were walking down the street.
I also don't get this.
It's garlic, but these it are all sweat out of your pores. Yeah.
These are all facts.
By the way, speaking of pungent smells, did anybody else think that it smelled like onions downtown today?
I didn't.
Yeah, it did.
When I got out of my truck today, I go, why does it smell like onions down here? It's like very much like onions.
No, when I came here on Saturday, there was human dookie in between the two
porta-johns.
Oh, I thought that too. Just when I was opening the door, I went, I go,
what were they trying to take the average? Just go in one of them.
There was pants right next to one.
Yeah.
Somebody had an emergency.
It's still there.
Oh, I went around the front because the strangest thing this morning. So where we parked, there's the alley.
Yeah.
And as I get out of the car this morning, Maitland, you had this happen. Those porta-johns that are out there for the construction crews used to be locked. And you said you saw somebody go in there, and I still hadn't seen that. And so as I start to walk up, a woman walks out of the porta-john wearing like she's dressed for business. She didn't look homeless at all. It's 4:40 in the morning. She's carrying a clipboard. Like, was she raiding the cleanliness of the toilets in the middle of the night? And then just walked down the alley the other way and disappeared into
maybe she works for one of those apps that tells you like where the closest, cleanest toilet is.
Well, she's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Lady Science is there for us.